Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Weekend of baseball week against the Giants, 3 out of 4, and playoff baseball too. Grant McCauley is our baseball insider, our Braves insider, one of the most knowledgeable people in the business, joins us this morning on the WayForward.com hotline, talk a little bit about all these big doings at Truist. Hey, Grant.
Good morning, guys. It is going to be quite a big weekend.
Yes, but Grant, this is the question that I have for you. In all the Brave history, is this the most anticipated return of a former Brave?
It's an interesting question. I would say it has to be up there, and in recent memory, it certainly is, because, you know, how many different iterations of losing a player of Freddie Freeman's caliber or a player with his place in Braves history can you really think of? I mean, for me, I look at Tom Glavine, who left and went to the Mets about 20 years ago. I would look at Dale Murphy's trade back in 1990. I would look at Phil Niekro's departure from Atlanta in 1983. And then before that, I guess you have to get into when Hank Aaron was traded over to the Brewers. But all of those had such different circumstances than Freddie Freeman did. I'd say Glavine's maybe the most similar, because he went and signed with a rival, and you know, that kind of was what it was. But even that was different than this whole Freddie Freeman saga. So, yeah, there's a lot of anticipation. I think emotions are going to be, you know, running high. I'm sure that the Freeman family is feeling all kinds of things as they rolled into Atlanta to get ready for this series tonight. So I'm eagerly anticipating what the reaction is going to be from the crowd. I expect it to be largely positive, if not completely positive, for the ring presentation is going to happen before the game. But after that, you know, you put on a different team's colors and you go out there and play against your old team in your old city, you know, things can get a little bit interesting after that. But we'll see how it all plays.
Please tell me, Grant, that there isn't a Braves fan who's an idiot enough to boo.
I mean, of course there are idiots out there. I mean, if you need any proof of that, you can jump on social media and spend a certain amount of time. And, you know, are those people going to buy a ticket and drive all the way down there to do that? Probably not. And, you know, that's just kind of – it goes with sports, and I think Freddie obviously would understand that, as most players do. It's just part of the game once the rivalry factor kind of kicks in, and there is not a bigger rival for the Atlanta Braves in recent memory than the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, these are two clubs that have gone to battle in the postseason. These are two teams that, you know, expect to do it again, and this could be kind of a theme for quite a while. So it's going to be, I think, just a very different atmosphere, too, than really anything that I can think of in recent memory for the Braves and for any one singular Braves player. But this is a guy that gave this franchise everything he had for over a decade. So, by and large, again, I expect this to be a positive night, a night of reflection, a night to appreciate what you accomplished. And then once that's done and the games start, you know, things will kind of shift into probably a little bit of a different gear at that point.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would play this. I would stand there, Hugh, and I would give him Travis d'Arnaud. He stands in front of the plate in his first at bat. I give him the long ovation pregame when he gets his ring. When Travis stands in front of him, I clap politely. When the first pitch is thrown to him, I've moved on. And not just moved on from that moment, but I mean moved on permanently, Grant, permanently. I mean, that's just how I'm giving you your nod. Now forget it. It's baseball.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I think it is. I mean, and for the players, it has to be that way. For fans, I mean, there are a lot of people that I'm sure are exhausted of hearing about this story. There were a lot of people that were disappointed about it. There were a lot of people that pointed at different directions of, well, if he really wanted to be here, then he'd be here. Well, if the club really wanted him here, then they wouldn't have let it get to this. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. And, again, I know there's a certain amount of fatigue that came with it. And, you know, but the circumstances and the way that it all played out, I mean, it was kind of dramatic. I mean, you know, you had a guy that was the face of the franchise for a very long time who ended up in free agency, had every intention, I think, of remaining in Atlanta, but also with the business side of the sport, you know, had to do what he felt like he needed to do in order to get the biggest and best deal that he could get, because this was going to be the last big long-term contract of his career. So I know that was in there somewhere. And, you know, when business and sports mix, or business and emotions mix, and money is in the middle of all of that, things just get a little bit sideways sometimes. And this just happened to be one of those that I think played out in a way that, you know, Freddie wasn't expecting with the Matt Olson trade and the immediate extension there. I mean, he realized, just as everyone did when that trade happened, that his time with the Atlanta Braves was over. And that is probably a bitter pill to swallow if you have the intention of remaining where you were. But again, this was kind of a dramatic situation, and I think that's what's had people kind of, you know, exhausted perhaps a little bit for a while. But you knew this day was coming. And this day, I think, is an important day for the franchise. I think it's an important day for Freddie Freeman, and I hope both sides are able to enjoy this for what it is. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the games commence, and you move on, and, you know, the Braves are going to focus on beating the Dodgers regardless of who puts on that uniform.
Speaking of the Dodgers, they just took three or four from the Giants. How much does that validate the long winning streak that they were on against weaker opponents, in your opinion?
For the Braves, that series win, I think, was one that really just kind of, if you need a little bit of confirmation that this wasn't just some smoke and mirrors routine, then that's the kind of series I think that could do it for you, because they won in dramatic fashion a couple of times. They won again on Thursday just by jumping out to an early lead. And then, of course, hanging on, the Giants are a good club. I mean, and they made a run at it late, but, you know, the Braves just overpowered them early on. And even on a day when Kyle Wright didn't have, you know, the best stuff that he's had all year, Atlanta was still able to find a way to win a game. And even the one they lost, they were right there in it the entire time. So the Braves, I think, have turned the corner on, you know, being a competitive club and getting back to the essence of who they are and what they are. I talked to Travis d'Arnaud yesterday, and he said that 14-game winning streak, it just kind of, you know, it validated them. It got them back on track. It's got them knowing that, you know, this is what they do. This is who they are. They can go out there. They can have fun, and winning is fun. And they got back into that, and, you know, that kind of thing is contagious, and the Braves are feeling pretty good. They've got the best record in baseball in the month of June. They've made up 6.5 games in the NL East standings. They've moved into a wild card spot. I mean, a lot of good things have happened for the Atlanta Braves in the course of about 3 weeks, and I think this has to, with the Giants win most recently and then lining up for this meeting with the Dodgers, it just has the Braves kind of clicking right now, and that's a good thing to see.
You see Grant McCauley, our Braves insider and expert here. Individual players getting hot at different times this year, and everybody's contributed. Everybody's been hot in some form or fashion all through the lineup. Now it happens to be the Dansbys. What has changed with Dansby Swanson, where he couldn't hit a bucket of water the first 3 weeks of the year, and now he's like out there playing Mark McGwire?
Well, I don't know if he's quite reached Big Mac status yet, but I will say that with Dansby, it's the consistency and the quality of the at-bats has changed dramatically. And, you know, I was inclined to think that this start of the season was going to be a little bit strange for everybody because of the lockout and because of the shortened spring training and the fact that, you know, position players typically, they need a certain amount of at-bats to get ready for the season. For pitchers, it's a little bit more complicated because they need a certain amount of innings, but especially for starters, you have to rest, and then you come back, and you rest again and come back, and you're just trying to build up that arm strength. But more specifically for Dansby, I think that, you know, he just was not quite there when the season started, and by there, I mean, you know, right where he wanted to be from a preparation standpoint, from a quality of at-bats, from a repetition standpoint of seeing live pitching again for the first time in a while. And once it clicked, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he works hard. He made adjustments. I mean, he continued to give the Braves quality defense despite the fact that he did get off to a slow start. But, you know, this has turned into more than a hot streak for Dansby Swanson. This has turned into, I think, you know, a season in which, if he continues on this track, I mean, he's easily the Braves MVP. He might start moving into some consideration for National League MVP if this kind of play continues. He's one of the top five players in terms of wins above replacement. He's now batting over 300. He's on pace for a 25 homer, 25 steal, 100 run, 90 RBI season, all while playing Gold Glove defense. Oh, by the way, in the middle of a contract year as well. So there's a lot of stories happening around him. So it's great to see it, and the Braves have needed it. He's easily been this club's MVP and kind of the piece that if you were looking for somebody to step up in the wake of Freddie Freeman moving on somewhere else and wondering what it was going to look like, I think Dansby Swanson has kind of given you an answer over the first 71 games of the season.
So when do you think we're going to see Eddie Rosario and Tyler Massey make it back to the majors there, Grant?
I think Eddie is ready to head out on his rehab assignment and hopefully get back. You know, he's got to go down to Florida. He's going to get some live at-bats, and then, you know, they'll have, I believe, about 3 weeks once he starts that rehab assignment before they have to activate him. So, you know, he'll need a certain number of at-bats. For Tyler, I know he's been throwing. I'm not sure he's gotten off a mound yet, and I don't believe he's gone down to Florida to ramp up anymore. And I'm not sure that he has to do that because he hasn't been out long as, say, a Mike Soroka. But I would be surprised if we didn't see both of those guys within the next 2 to 3 weeks, even before the All-Star break, making their return to Atlanta. If they don't suffer any setbacks and have been feeling good as of this week, you know, I think we could see them pretty soon.
Yeah, that'd be great, too. I mean, these two teams, last two NLCS, they're developing a new history now, a new history that is being underwritten by the fact that the man who was the face of the franchise is now in the Dodger blue. So all this between the Braves and Dodgers this weekend shaping up. This is great baseball, and I expect a huge crowd, sold-out crowds, and a huge weekend for both teams, and I'm really anticipating this, Grant, a lot.
Yeah, no, it's going to be one of, I think, the more exciting and intriguing regular season matchups that you'll find, because it will have the, you know, the hints of that postseason history these two clubs have had. You've got Freddie Freeman wearing a Dodgers uniform after over a decade with the Braves, and on the flip side, you've got Kenley Jansen wearing a Braves uniform after more than a decade with the Dodgers. So there are a lot of different, you know, strings here that are going to be, you know, tugged on, I think, for both sides, and it's going to be interesting. But again, once that first pitch, you know, floats across the plate and the game gets started, I mean, these are two clubs that very much have eyes on October, and they know that the path to getting where they ultimately want to get to, well, that's been through the opposite, the opposition, the other team, and we'll see how they line it up and do it again in this particular series. But it's a lot of excitement and very different than any atmosphere I think I've ever really experienced in a regular season game as far as what I'm expecting, and I'd be surprised if it doesn't live up to the hype, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, let's hope it does, and let's hope the Braves win here. Real quick, Grant, where can the fans find you on Sunday?
Now you can definitely find me right here on 92.9 The Game from 5 to 7 on From the Diamond. We'll get you set for the Sunday Night Baseball matchup, talk about everything that's going on with the Braves and everything else around the world of baseball. And if you like the show, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast and find it on the Odyssey app.
As always, Grant, thanks much, Bob.
You're the man.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.